Yeah, there really is no typical day. Having just trained Caroline, who has never done this work before, that was one of the first things I said to her. She asked that question, what's a typical day look like? And we went through a pretty extensive training, 4 weeks with her. In a couple of the shifts, you know, we had a plan.
Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet, WFPR.FM, and in the local Franklin, Mass. FM radio dial 102.9, here in the training room on a nice warm Tuesday for another Talk Franklin session with our town administrator, Jamie Helen. Jamie, how are you doing this Tuesday?
Nice and hot, Steve.
Nice and hot.
Fantastic. Spring is sprung. We're excited that winter's behind of us and happy to be here. This is a great topic for this month, and I'm really excited to have the panel.
Yeah, we'll tease the topic. We'll get into that. And Amy Frigoletti, our deputy administrator, welcome.
Hi, Steve. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And then we have our special guest today because the topic, as Jamie alluded to, what we hadn't said, May is Mental Health Month, so we have our police representation and Callie Montenegro?
Montagno.
Callie Montagno.
I've heard worse.
That's okay. We got Callie right at least.
Thank you, yes.
She only goes by the surname usually anyways. Locally, we just go Callie.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And Lieutenant Riley.
Good afternoon, Steve.
Good afternoon. It's good to be here. Good to have you both here.
My pleasure.
And we'll have some fun at the end. We'll tease the listeners to listen through to find out what kind of fun we're going to have at the end. Yeah. Jamie, I think you've got a couple of highlights you want to start with.
Yeah, usually, it's our busiest time of the year.
Budget season!
It's budget season. As I'm sure most people are listening, they've been following along with a lot of the budget discussions, notably, obviously, the school finance issues. You know, anybody that picks up a newspaper or reads online around Massachusetts stuff, too, knows Franklin is not the only community in this boat at all. Many eastern Massachusetts and Cape and central Mass communities are in the same boat. The costs, you know, obviously at the school level, school finance have gone way up. The demands are really high. I think we'll probably get into that at some point in this discussion too. And you know, we're just the superintendent and I are just taking it week by week. you know, we had a great FinCom set of meetings, hearings the last 2 weeks, and the budget did get recommended as presented. We did have good news in there if people didn't hear, which was we were able to get some more state aid. And our team worked diligently and quickly over the last week to update the budget documents to include the additional $335,000 for the school. So the school appropriation now for this year is the largest the town has ever seen and the school district has ever seen in a one-time increase, which is great news. Obviously, that's still far short from, I think, what the superintendent school committee are saying. So. You know, we had an incredibly generous, so this week is the town council hearings on the budget, and then whether the override passes or fails, whichever way that goes, we'll do a readjustment of the budget in late June before the start of the fiscal year.
Right.
So it's budget madness. This is one of our favorite times of the year. As my predecessor used to always say, the challenge of the budget, which is what, you know, putting the pieces together, the puzzle is always kind of kept him engaged in this job, and I can see why.
Yes.
It's certainly...
so many moving parts, for sure.
A lot of moving parts, a lot of really, really excellent questions from citizens, you know, that, that deserve time and the appropriate response,
right,
which is keeping Lucas and I up. Him and I are seeing each other's names come over our phones on Saturdays and Sundays and late at night. But it's really important because a lot of people are, I can clearly tell a lot of voters are taking this seriously. The questions are almost too good, actually. Some of them I got to tell people it's not really any more complicated than really some of the simple math, you know?
Right.
But I think a lot of voters are out there weighing, you know, their decisions, and that's a really great thing. We're doing a forum, the superintendent and I are doing a forum at the Senior Center, an info forum on June 5th at 1:30 for a couple hours, and I know that there'll be some other discussions probably going on throughout the community that have nothing to do with the school department and myself over the coming week. So. That's one thing people have to look forward to. Also, I just got to give a shout out to Jersey Mike's. It can't be said enough. Unfortunately, Amy and I were unable to go to the ribbon cutting on a Saturday, but with Ryan at the helm, obviously that was a Class A effort. And just, the folks down at King Street Memorial Park, Jersey Mike's donated $300,000. Into a new playground down there, which will help offset the cost of the King Street Memorial renovation. So, you know, we got a lot of great things. I'm probably as much as anybody looking forward to July 1st. We have a very busy council meeting on June 5th as well, like maybe about a half a dozen or so zoning related, development and housing related issues will be before the council. And so we've got a lot going on, and you know, I could probably talk for the whole hour about it.
Yeah.
There's just a lot going on, and there hopefully is. People sign up for our email lists that you always promote, Steve.
Yes.
You know, people are out there want to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We have an email subscription list for everybody to sign up to and stay in the loop.
Yep, and check any number of boxes for specific entities that you're interested in, whether DPW, police,
people tell me all the time. They tell you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew what was going on. No one ever told me,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, yeah, there's email. I don't have that kind of time. But there's legal ad notice lists.
Mm-hmm.
There's planning board. There's town council. There's town blog.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can, there's senior center. I mean, there's a whole slew of them that
right.
people can stay up to date with the latest news.
Right. And even from the business side, if you want to find out what you're doing business-wise, all the procurement notices, those you can sign up for directly as well.
Yeah.
So
just keep chipping away at it. That's a recent one as well, the procurement notifications. So if anybody out there is looking to bid on town services or contracts or work, keep things local, there's the list to sign up for. So we've always given maybe the audience too many lists to sign up for. So. But there's a lot of great ways to stay in touch with what's going on.
Right, indeed. And you're having fun in this budget season, helping Jamie behind the scenes and doing everything?
I am enjoying it. I'm learning a lot about the way the budget is done here in Franklin versus some of the other communities that I've been in. And it's been very interesting, and I'm enjoying it. I'm learning a lot.
Mm-hmm. There is certainly a lot going on. Yes. And it's Mental Health Month, so we can take a break and hopefully encourage folks to take a break, because I'm sure you've been seeing some volume of numbers that have been going the wrong direction in terms of an indication of where we are in terms of our current health status.
Yes, absolutely. People are stressed, right? I think since COVID, our numbers have kind of skyrocketed. Everyone is struggling. But yeah, spring, we definitely see an increase in numbers. But fortunately, we now have myself and two other clinicians that work directly with the police department. So there's three of us that are able to kind of tackle that demand.
Right. Yeah. And before we get into the operations side, so as I recall, this was grant funded. It was a specific grant.
Well, you know, it is Mental Health Awareness Month.
Right.
And we're very, very, we're very fortunate and very lucky to have Callie and Sonia and now Caroline on the staff. And we're very lucky to have Lieutenant Riley, who's been coordinating a lot of these efforts. I think Amy and I were talking about this earlier. I mean, I think we're all, you know, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, that joke. You know, I think we're all a lot closer now to someone we know, a friend or family member or colleague that's suffering from some sort of mental health situation.
Right.
And I would argue probably the vast majority of all of us have a mental health situation at some course of our life. We hear a lot of talk from various other governments, and you know, and to be honest with you, I'm fairly disappointed in the reaction. I think from certainly the federal government, Beacon Hill, Senator Spilka has certainly done a lot over her career, many other legislators, but it just in my heart, as someone who's like all of our families have been through these trials and tribulations, I still just feel like the talk isn't, the action isn't really, you know, measuring up to the talk. And we've heard this, Callie's been here, well, she took a little time off, but she was here before the pandemic and was seeing kind of what was going on then, and I think the pandemic afterwards has certainly exacerbated a lot of things, for sure. And we've heard a lot about it from school parents, we've heard a lot about it from kids. We've heard it through the community, and you know, I'm pretty passionate about this issue. You know, again, I'm fairly disappointed in our leaders for not doing a lot more. You know, there was a mental health hospital over in Medfield, for example, that closed decades ago, And to me, sometimes I wonder to myself, maybe those are needed still, right? Clearly more resources are needed. There's not enough beds, there's not enough hospitals, there's not enough this or that. The laws can change, but it really doesn't really get everybody to where they need to. And when Cali was first here in the jail diversion program, which Jason and Cali will speak to from the state, they gave out grants to be able to hire clinician staff to go out, and I want them later to really discuss in detail how they do their work. But it was kind of before the pandemic, they were kind of chipping away at the problem a little. And you can see how the success of that program, because it's about getting to people at their level, at their place, in their homes, on their streets, in their neighborhoods, where really the root causes of these things happen. The schools just generally inherit the problems, right? They don't create the issues, by and large, right? And I just thought that that was really interesting. And then when, and then obviously the pandemic happened and we got this federal infusion of stimulus money called ARPA. And people have probably heard about it. And one of the uses that was embedded in the money that we could get from Norfolk County was public health emergencies.
Right.
And so Amy did a great job helping me form the applications and everything. And I went to the chief and I just said, what would give you more of a 7-day look? And I think through Callie and Jason said, you know, probably three people would try to round out, you know, most of the hours, at least to the best of our ability. And so then we applied for $810,000 or $808,000 to be specific. And now we have the staff that Callie mentioned, Callie, Sonia, and Caroline now here for really 3 years.
Right.
Paid for under the federal stimulus money. I don't want to call it a pilot, but it's essentially for illustrative purposes. It's
proof
a pilot
concept.
Program.
Yeah, proof of concept.
A lot of other communities are doing through the jail diversion program at the state, they're doing work. But as we found out from the pandemic too, clinicians are really, really hard to hire. There's a huge shortage in the amount of clinicians out there to do the work that is needed to solve the problem. Just like we're seeing with police, just like we're seeing with teachers. There's a huge shortage of mental health related clinicians and counselors to be able to solve the demand that's out there. And I wanted to put our money where our mouth is and really worked with all these folks to say, what if we did this for 3 years? Could we change the way we think of how we deliver mental health services? And this is one of the big reasons why Amy got hired, because Amy worked in the city of Boston for almost 10 years in Dorchester, where the substance abuse and mental health problems are probably some of the worst in the state of Massachusetts, right? And so her expertise, along with these folks, I just felt like we had an opportunity with the federal money to say, this is a public health crisis. We all say it is, but let's finance it in a way. And because it doesn't have any tax impact relative to what we just spoke about with the budget, we could give it a shot and just see maybe if we can have Callie and her staff and the police respond to homes, connect people to services, give advice, assess the situation, you know, and a lot more that they'll talk about. Maybe in a few years we could try to prove to the state or others, that other communities, that that, you know, there's a different model here that we have to employ, which is, we can talk all about the hospitals, we can talk all about state laws and policies, but ultimately we have to meet people where they're at. Otherwise, I don't know if we're going to have as much of an impact on what we all really care about, which is helping our loved ones, right? Which is trying to change the trajectory of a horrible problem that is getting worse and worse and worse. Suicide is getting worse and worse and worse. Thoughts of these issues are getting worse and worse. And how do we do that? And Callie was very inspiring when she first got here, because I thought, wow, you know, she's in the cruiser, she's wearing a bulletproof vest, I think, and she's going out to these homes in dangerous situations, but she's connecting with people on their turf, which is better than maybe what the schools see and connecting at the school level, or what Jason sees, which are really sad and horrible incidents that we don't really always want to talk about.
Right.
And so that was kind of the nexus of this. You know, it's probably one of the most exciting things that I've done in my 9 years here in Franklin, and I'm really hopeful for all this to be really successful.
Yeah. So the program evolved from the jail diversion to more of a co-response in terms of the mental health approach, but you saw some good numbers along that in order to make that expansion proceed accordingly.
Correct. And I don't think we particularly like the word jail jail diversion program because it didn't touch everything we were doing.
True.
I think it has so many more definitions and meanings that we can use it for. We're basically a resource that we can go out. It's another resource instead of seeing the police officer in his uniform with all his gear. It's another way to do it. But the original focus was to take the tax off the court system,
yes,
the probation system, the jail system, and the mental health, the hospitals and things like that. And it was for nonviolent offenders or nonviolent people that we were coming across, and it was another way for us to interact with them, but the end result wasn't jail, which I think is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Really, because that's really what happened,
yes,
when all the mental health hospitals closed. Mm-hmm. There was no other avenue. It was the court system.
We didn't have an answer.
Eventually, you know, our correction system.
Correct.
And then we had people in our corrections system that didn't have the skills to handle,
right,
individuals with mental health.
Sure.
So I think this model really is trying to be proactive.
Proactive. And Jamie makes a good point. Everyone makes a good point that we were fortunate enough to have this, at least the foundation of it,
right,
in place pre-pandemic, which I don't know how we would have fared well no matter when we put it in, but to have just where sometimes we're behind the eight ball after the pandemic, and as Jamie points out, these problems aren't going away. This ripple effect is going to go on for years, if not decades, if not longer than I'm around. So I think it's important for us. The town leaders, the chief, and the administrator's office had the wherewithal to say, hey, this is pretty important, and what a bonus having a foundation in place before the pandemic hit.
Mm-hmm.
I really think we're fortunate.
Yeah. So what's in a typical day for you? Or is there a typical day?
There is no typical day. No. Yeah, there really is no typical day. Having just trained Caroline, who has never done this work before, that was one of the first things I said to her. She asked that question, what's a typical day look like? And we went through a pretty extensive training, 4 weeks with her. In a couple of the shifts, you know, we had a plan. We wrap up our shift the day before. This is what we're going to do the next day. We're going to finish this training agenda. We come in the next day, we're getting pulled into something.
Mm-hmm.
And it just takes the whole day, or, you know, you get pulled into something else. We get on the road with an officer. We're going to go out for an hour, say. And then we end up at three different calls, and we have to do a bunch of paperwork, assessments, coordination with other town providers, hospitals, things like that.
Yeah.
So no typical day, I would say. Ideally, I personally like to come in and read the police logs, see what's going on, get mm-hmm. a pulse for what's been happening, as well as what officers were involved in any sort of incident.
Okay.
It's not, I don't think, our official role, but because we work so closely with them, police have really the not great end of the stick, right, where they have to see all these traumatic incidents, and we as mental health clinicians can be there just to kind of be their sounding board.
Sure.
So just to get a pulse on, you know, this officer had 4 difficult calls yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They might be a little off today, and just to know that going in, I think is super important.
Right.
Those are our coworkers. We're it's family.
Yes.
We work so closely together. So just to know they might be a little off today. We might not want to ask them to go out on the road. They might need some time alone, or maybe they do want to speak with us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of the co-response program, is we're co-responding in the cruiser with officers.
Right.
So we're in the cruiser just on a ride, any given day, if nothing's happening, you know, we're there for when it does happen. We can mm-hmm. provide that quicker response, which
sure.
I think is very important.
Yeah, and then I think having been, call it Johnny on the spot, to a particular call at a particular incident, you at least can start developing that relationship with that individual to meet
yes.
them, as Jamie said, where they are.
Absolutely.
And then provide whatever the services may be required by whatever the circumstances are.
Right. And we have our own system, so we use, you know, the police system to look up reports and things like that, but we have our own system of tracking people. So we'll write our evaluations, notes about somebody that just the clinician, so just me and Sonia and Caroline have access to, where we keep their mental health records, essentially.
Sure. Yeah.
So when we're en route to a call, we're in the cruiser, and we hear a name, we can start doing the research ahead of time. Have
mm-hmm.
we seen this person before? maybe they don't like the police, and we'll share that with them.
Right.
The cruiser, hey, they don't like the police. Do you mind if I take the lead on this one? Vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So long as the scene is safe. But having that relationship, I think, leads to better outcomes for the people that we're encountering.
Yeah.
Because we can go in more educated about what they might be going through.
Sure.
Yeah, someone once said, an investment in knowledge pays the best interest.
Ben Franklin.
For those without the owl on the side.
And then having the right knowledge and the right preparation so that you're not just walking up cold. You've
right.
got some information.
Yes.
If, especially if there had been some prior history, mm-hmm. at least you're prepared for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Just knowing that maybe we saw them last week and they ended up going to the hospital, so we can, you know, go up to them, hey, what happened when you went to the hospital? What was really crappy? And we can work through that. Let's make sure that doesn't happen again today. What can we do to get you to stay in your home? That's the ultimate goal. We want people to stay in the community and get those supports from the community. Sometimes it is the hospital that's the end result, but ideally we want people to... We want to divert them from the hospital and divert them from unnecessary arrest.
Right.
Kelly, are people more open to services when you are able to meet with them and kind of talk to them versus maybe someone, one of our law enforcement officers?
I think it's like a mixed bag, to be honest. I think most people, yes, are happy. They really like the program. We've gotten really good feedback. But some people don't want to speak with a mental health clinician. I think there's still that stigma of, this isn't a mental health problem, I called the police, I want to speak with a police officer. And we're all we've been doing this in Franklin I've been doing it since 2018 with them. So we've got a really good relationship where we know who's can step forward. And if I'm not being well received, I have no shame in stepping back and I don't want to escalate a situation that it doesn't need to be.
Sure.
But even even if it's a mixed bag, right? Like, for the public out there to think of, like, 10 years ago this didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And in 10 years we hope it still exists, but if it doesn't, still your impact on the percentage of people that do or have an open mind to that.
Yes.
Or there is a case where there's... you know, a situation where you're going back to the same hospital or whatever, and you have those data sets and you're at least able to plan those things out, I got to imagine that that's a really, I don't know how to quantify it, but almost like it's a really important thing
that
people understand, because a lot of times people don't want a police officer there because of the stigma associated with police being there. And so that's, I think, really well done in terms of the core name of the initiative, right?
Yeah,
the
co-response,
right?
Yeah.
They're there to help each other out. Some work better than others. Sometimes it's law enforcement, sometimes it's EMS, sometimes it's mental health, right? But at least there's a full set of options for people.
Jimmy, I'll take that a step further. I'd be lying if I didn't say there was some apprehension on behalf of the police officers on the road about having a clinician in the car.
Right.
You know, police officers are typical type A personalities who want to control the situation, want to control the outcome, because that's what they're trained to do. So when this program first launched, and it was, you know, I was a sergeant at the time, and I never explained it to the guys, like, what?
In the cruiser?
In the cruiser.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Officers are very regimented in their routine, and any deviation from that is different to them, and nobody really likes change.
Did they have the same reaction to Ben Frank?
Yes.
No.
Or Frankie.
Dog's win.
But there was a little apprehension at first because people are afraid of what they don't know. Once they establish yourself, and you need the right clinician, you need the right set of people, you need the right person, which we are fortunate to have, to change that mindset. But I can tell you right now, I don't know how our officers would deal without the jail co-response program now. And they're so embedded in such a tremendous resource. I think officers would be just as significant to take them away now. They would go through the same feelings as when we first introduced it.
Yeah.
Very important.
So, I mean, how do we, Callie, get it? I mean, it's Mental Health Awareness Month, right? Like, and, you know, again, I've been pretty open about my frustrations at times. I know May and every month of the year has, you know, a lot of proclamations for awareness months and weeks and days and all this stuff. And I don't mean any disrespect. I don't even know, I probably don't even know the full palette of what's aware in May. because sometimes it feels overwhelming. But on this one, for some reason, I think it connects all of us, and yet it's just still, you just mentioned it a minute ago to Amy's question, we're still just having this struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it may be something we never can fully eclipse, but I'm hoping things like this help. But what else can people do to bring greater awareness in your experience, or Jason, your experience of like how to bring greater connectivity and ease? Because you're right, we need the right clinicians like these folks, right? We worked really hard to get three people we have for a reason. We also need you and the right officers,
yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. Out there as well to embrace this, to lead on it, to not be, because let's be real, I'm sure there are officers either in other departments or ours or other places that are like, why are we spending all this money on this? Why don't we just hire more officers, right? Of course, mm-hmm. That's going to be a critique, right? But yet we're still just struggling with the stigma around this issue and how to communicate about it. Any tips for the listeners or where do we go as a community? I mean, I know this is a big deal. We can do this podcast and we have you all here and hopefully that's helping break it down. But as it's part of the Awareness Month, what else can we do? Or what else do we do as a community?
I think we're really good about, we have a great department and I'm probably biased, but we have fantastic yeah. officers. In my previous, when I worked with a different agency, I did work in other police departments, and it's not the same as Franklin. Sonia came from two different departments that she worked in previously. She came here, and after a couple weeks, she's like, I thought you were lying. Like, this is a great department. And I think everyone's really open, but I also think we do social media really well. We post a lot about what we're doing. And the officers are really great about being approachable. I think that's huge. If you're having something going on, even if we're not there as a clinician, what can the officer relay to that person? Like, hey, we have clinicians, give them a call. And we'll outreach them ourselves, because sometimes it's hard to make that initial
mm-hmm.
call.
Sure.
So when you call that person and say, hey, these are the types of resources we have, like, we're happy to help. Just, I think, being more approachable and open about it. Like, it's okay to talk about it. Everyone's got something going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not easy, so it's okay to talk about it.
Yeah. What are some of those resources in the area or in the community that people can access? You're one, you know, obviously in the police department. You know, and Amy's working to bring everything together. It's been kind of a long time coming, but we won't go into that right now. But what other things are for the listeners out there who don't want to contact the PD, who just can't make that call, or where can they go if they were here right now? What would you try to give them advice on?
Some of the biggest resources that we recommend are, there's a couple websites. PsychologyToday.com is a fantastic website. The Metro West Behavioral Helpline, where you can go on, some of them you just put in your zip code and you can search. For a therapist, you can search for group therapy if maybe you're not looking for something individual. NAMI is really great for education. So if you see something, you know, for parents, I think it's great. And even parents of adult children, if they're seeing something that's going on with a loved one or their child, you can, NAMI has great educational resources. Like, these are the symptoms I'm seeing. What could this be? And then where do I go from there?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many resources out there. It's just, it can be overwhelming in knowing where to start. So mm-hmm. that's why we're more than happy to even just point you in the right direction.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and if people are visiting other locations, for example, the Y, they at least have a referral piece so that they'll contact you or whoever else they need to. Safe Coalition, which was founded initially here, still actually mm-hmm. moved back here for something clearly on the substance abuse, but that's a spectrum towards mental health.
Yeah, work very closely with the Safe
And they have a number you can call at any time, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I've seen on social, Samaritans also have an 800 number for that space in terms of, I think I'm going to do this. I need some help.
Where to start, right?
We also have the William James program that we pay for here in town, which is a referral program as mm-hmm. well. And that information is on the school website.
School page, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there are resources if people at least stop, reach out to somebody, even the senior center for that example, for example, or even the library as a resource place. They can at least do the Google searches and point out to find people in
or
different places.
Or even know who to call. I think, again, I'm probably biased, but I think Franklin is so special where town providers work really closely together.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, just the other day, someone from the senior center said, I have this person, and I knew exactly who they were talking about, and we were able to coordinate that together. Mm-hmm. We're always working very closely together, and I think it's a huge benefit for the residents that live here.
Yeah, and I think that brings up, that's part of the work that Jamie alluded to, that you're truly trying to coordinate in terms of the response team from a town perspective, so police and or fire could be the person, or senior center could be that front line, but then coordination inside.
And we do that with the police, the fire, myself, our health department, the senior center. We all coordinate when we come across an issue and try to figure out the best way to provide resources for that individual, depending on what the need is and what the issue is.
Sure.
And typically, a lot of those situations may be extremely dire that group deals with outside of just the general coordination, but you know, again, trying to put a little bit of money where our mouth is, you know, we were able to get $25,000 in a capital account just in case there are hotel vouchers or some transitional assistance. I think there is a donut hole in the system sometimes, and I think that's been a discussion in the community a lot. You know, Jason's worked a lot on this too, and Doug down at the fire department. Sometimes there's just a donut hole where you can't get people, you know, who are maybe homeless or, you know, living out of a car or someplace else. They just can't get that week of groceries or that hotel for 4 days, get cleaned up, get a reset.
Mm-hmm.
And so the council and, you know, we tried to put some money in an account for that group to be able to access. Because always in my experience, was always hard for social service providers is then they're spending a lot of their time trying to find out where to get a hotel voucher from.
Right? Sure.
So they're pulling at other places. And if you can just have it, it's not a lot of money, but if you can just have a small pot of money and see how it's used over a few years or a couple years or a year or shorter if it's needed, at least we can start to gauge and maybe better plan on what kind of financial resources are needed in the community to help connect all these dots, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know that the schools have a lot of resources too. You know, I know they're also a point. You know, if your kids are in the school district, particularly if FPS, I think there's 6 or 7 social workers they have, and I think they're trying to deal with a lot of these issues too on the symptomatic level of what the superintendent of the school district.
Yeah, and somewhat related to this, but the community resource officers that are at the elementary, middle, high school, and then you've got somebody at Tricon, as I recall, too, right?
Correct. So we have the communication, all lines of communication between all the town departments to eventually reach the goal of helping somebody. That's the most important. I think communication is actually the most important thing with the other town departments that we can do.
And then it brings to mind, going back to the Norfolk County grant, which, if I recall, partially funded this, at least the other two organizations we've mentioned, Y and SAFE, but Food Pantry is also certainly at the front lines in some cases from that food entry point, but then they also have the resources to refer as required.
That's a great point. I kind of forgot about that for a minute, but the SAFE got $100,000 and the Food Pantry got $100,000 and the Y, which actually was mostly a mental health related initiative, which was, you know, extremely fascinating to me from the fact that the Y is using the money in a large part to deal with kids from the pandemic who kind of just basically got stuck in the basement, or kind of just got a little holed up, you know, in the world that they got into.
Sure.
And what I liked about the initiative is instead of trying to disrupt that passion, it's really about how do you continue to educate young kids about health and nutrition and exercise and a variety of other things. Instead of trying to get them to convince them to come away from that and do something else, it's really an initiative to go toward them, right?
Yeah.
And again, kind of the theme here, I think, from we're trying to meet people where they're at, in their comfortable space, and if obviously if the situation were that there was something wrong, that the police would be handling that if it was a different situation. But I think what we're talking about here is the most common, you know, mental health issues. And so I thought that was a really innovative idea. And so, you know, I think as probably most listeners are getting a good idea, you know, I mean, you're not alone out there. We have a lot of resources in this community. There's a lot of great people that are communicating with each other. There's a support network here. And so, you know, we know it's very challenging for a lot of people to be in the situations they're in. We all are going to have a moment or two in our lives, if not more. It's a very, very tough world. This is why I don't, this is why I also have been 7.5 years sober of no news. I don't watch TV. I don't watch any of that stuff. It's like worse than like a 100-ounce gulp of Mountain Dew. It's just pure sugar. It's just like, it just takes you in and it just like, right? And
doom
like
scrolling.
8 years ago, I was like done, right? And Amy and I always joke because we're on the same page. We've never done social media in our lives either. It's just, you know, those are choices, but those are hard, right? Those
are hard.
You know, disciplined choices that some folks make, and we're not all able to do that. And as a result, you know, we have a lot of great people here who are trying to work together, you know, to try to make it better for everybody. It's a huge problem to solve, but, you know, hopefully with some of the stuff you've heard here today and a lot more, you know, people can come away with that we're trying to do as best as we can as a community to give everybody some hope.
Indeed. I think that's a good segue to our kind of fun thing. We close this new series, as you mentioned earlier, our new monthly series. To add a little levity, we'll combine what I called our Talk Franklin musical jamboree. We haven't really come up with a name, but it's a combination of Whose Line Is It?
Jamboree, no, it's good. And, that's hopeful. That's festive.
And I'll think of the other one. Oh, Family Feud. Right? So a combination of those, because Whose Line Is It? The points really don't matter. That's, we're just here to have fun. But who's knowing as well, Jamie likes a lot of music. So instead of focusing on the mental health side, because when I looked at some of the top songs in the playlist, it was like, that's a little problematic. But one of them had a list of songs for hope. And it was perfect that you gave us that segue. So
that's great.
Songs for Hope. Do you want to start? What song for hope comes to mind that you may have heard?
You gonna share your take?
My initial thought was Taylor Swift. You can't go wrong with that.
I agree with that. 100%.
It was Shake It Off, which I think was a pretty good song.
Sometimes that comes up.
We'll have to add that to the list because it's not on this particular list.
I've been known to lipstick that driving through town in my cruiser. You see that I'm not talking about myself.
All right, so we got one that's not on the list. We can add to that. Anybody else?
Well, I'm always trying to tell people all the time. I'm trying to make people, you know, if we can try to bring happiness to people, that's great.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I hear a lot of complaining. I hear a lot of negativity. And I always just try to say to people, what can I try to do to make you happy? So I'm going with Pharrell Williams, not the Rolling Stones version. But we're going to go with Pharrell with Happy. Is that on the list?
Yes. No.
No.
Oh, yes, Pharrell. Yes.
I mean, yeah.
It is
in that movie. How it possibly?
It is.
It was like when in Happy Feet when Prince was in there with Kiss.
Right.
And yep. Like, how could you not feel more joyous than that song? That was such a great movie.
That's in there.
Can I get a redo?
This is definitely not on there, but I would just like to give a plug for the Martin Sexton version.
Oh.
Happy.
Ooh,
wow. Deep cut.
Originally from Syracuse, New York.
Oh, right?
But he does play a lot in this area.
He used to play in Cambridge. Yes. In the summer,
Since
we're going on the happy theme, I just wanted to give a plug.
Very cool. Absolutely.
Deep cut to the local artist. Great job. And he's got great ones. Shakedown
Street. You wanted to redo something?
I'm gonna do Bobby McFerrin, Don't Worry.
Oh,
hey. Oh, that's a great
Of course.
One. Yeah. How do you like
Classic.
That?
And we'll have to add that
See
one to this list.
It made you happy.
Yes.
Wait till Jersey Mike's.
Jersey Mike's here really come. Well, I spent that last year. I'm going to put another blinger on it.
All right. We'll add that one to the list. And by the list, I mean what I've done is taken that 20 and added it to a YouTube playlist.
Oh, thank
you. So we'll include that in the post. So you can go to the list and just have the 20-plus songs to just be happy, and we'll add that one for sure. Any other choices, selections?
I'm a Gen Xer, so there's got to be a "Don't Stop Believing" by Journey. I mean, that's like one of the greatest songs.
Number three on the list. Like, number three. Yes, indeed.
Don't Stop Believing.
Yep.
And what an uplifting. What an uplifting.
Yeah. Yep. And just putting through the playlist, that was, it was like, oh, this is fun. Yeah, I'm definitely going to do this list.
I'll spare you my air guitar right now. I'll spare you my air guitar. Jason will get it later or something.
Uh-huh. Amy, you got another choice?
I don't know. I was going to say Stand By Me.
Oh, that should be out there.
Ooh. Super good. You were like the queen of whatever's not on Steve's list.
I like
they
it.
All yeah. go and question Steve
no,
about
they go
where he's
the
getting
box.
These lists.
You know
lists.
Why? Because I like off. When people come up to me in the community and they say, you got robbed. Yeah. That should have been on there. That was a good one.
From back in that once upon a time.
Totally.
I love that.
Well,
every time so I go true. Out, everyone says, we'll have- that was a really good one. How come I didn't
have We'll have to figure out how in the playlist, you know, Amy's ads.
Love it.
Another choice, Kelly?
I love the Kelly Clarkson Stronger.
Yeah.
Great
I
one.
Do.
Yep.
Absolutely. She's just such a strong, independent woman. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She even has a song called that.
Absolutely.
And look where she came from to where she is now.
Yeah.
She's inspired.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Great choice.
Yep. Cool. Any others? And that was just kind of reveal some of the list. And again, for the full yeah, list, we'll include that in the show notes. But right. number one wasn't mentioned here, but the Beatles, Here Comes the Sun. You know, that's okay. We can't all be perfect there.
I think the George Harrison tune would be on that list, right?
George,
no,
John
here
Lennon.
Comes the Sun. He wrote Here Comes the Sun.
Right, right. John Lennon has Imagine. I'm Still Standing with Elton John.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
I like that.
Marvin Gaye. Katrina and the Waves actually appeared on one of the prior lists.
That's right.
Walking on Water.
Walking on Sunshine.
Yep.
They're traveling Wilburys. Well, it's all right. We're coming to the end of the world.
Yes.
I like that
yes.
one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's already on.
Toe with you.
Fucking Wilburys.
Pretty soon Jason's going to say, you got robbed.
Yeah. I'll think of a bunch when I leave home for
it. Oh, yeah. We always. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right when
yeah.
he turns off.
Yeah.
Thing,
right. Right. And. We're open to suggestions, so send me an email. We'll add it to the list. The playlist is a community piece. It starts here, but then we can add to it. So that's good. Thank you all for taking time today on this Talk Franklin episode, and hopefully we've given you some resources and ended up with a little bit of hope for the future. So,
and Steve, if I could do a shout-out to William James, came up in part of the conversation, but Callie, Sergeant Mike Kalecki and Caroline all graduated the program at William James, the master's level program last night. And
oh, current event.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Look at what breaking news does to Steve.
Yeah.
Hey.
He's
happy. See? Nice job.
It's a great program.
Congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
It's great for you.
Yeah,
girl.
this is why, you know, the adjacent possible. We just scheduled this. That wasn't planned.
No.
We had no idea that was last night, but
I've been keeping that nugget.
You would It's all good. It's all good. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
So again, thank you all for taking time.
Pleasure, Steve.
For listeners, hopefully you've enjoyed this as well. And a quick reminder, we do this because Franklin matters. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.